Time to talk about white-collar crooks. A new Harvard study has found that senior male executives are much more likely to get away with fraud and embezzlement than middle managers or junior staff. To help us work out why, I'm joined by Harvard Professor of Business Administration, Paul Healy. Hello there.
Hi there.
Nice to talk to you. Why don't you start by defining the sort of crime you're talking about?
So we're talking about criminal acts like fraud, bribery, insider trading, embezzling company assets, those sorts of things.
And how did you go about doing your research?
So we had a survey from one of the large accounting firms where they had asked their clients and a random sample of large companies to lay out what types of crimes had been committed in the last year. This was going back to about 2011, and asking them then to give more information about how the most serious crime was, who was the primary perpetrator, and how they punished that perpetrator.
And why were you looking at this? What were you interested in?
Well, there's a lot of, most companies would argue that they don't condone any corporate crime and that they punish everyone, but there's really little evidence on how seriously they take that. And certainly if you think about companies recently with the Me Too movement, or even in the Catholic Church, where people have looked the other way when crimes have been committed, we were interested to see whether companies were true to their pledge that they took it seriously, or whether they would be more inclined to sort of brush it under the carpet.
Is it hard to work out how much of this is going on? Is it all reported?
So these are not publicly reported. Roughly a third of the crimes that we looked at were reported, and the others were ones that companies dealt with by themselves. But they were reported in this anonymous survey that the accounting firm conducted.
And when someone is found to be doing something illegal, what are the various ways that they can be dealt with?
Well, they can be dismissed, of course, face some sort of legal consequence, either a civil case against them or a criminal case against them. And the challenge is that in many company legal actions against perpetrators of crime, you have to prove not only did the individual do the act, but that they also had an intent to cause harm. And that can be sometimes more difficult in these sorts of cases. So oftentimes it's easier for prosecutors to go after the company than it is to go after the individual who perpetrated the crime. And that was certainly true in the case of the global financial crisis, where most of the people who committed crimes most of the criminal activity was against the company, fought against the company, not individuals.
So what did you discover when you looked at this data?
So we found, first of all, that what we were interested in was, first of all, is it true that everyone gets prosecuted or gets punished severely? And we found that that was not the case. Even when you control for the type of crime and the magnitude of the crime, we found there's a lot of variation, that roughly, a third of the cases someone was punished, another third they were, or 40% they were punished with dismissal, another 30% they were punished with dismissal and legal action. But there were quite a few cases where it didn't appear that there was any particular punishment. Someone might be moved within the company. And then we were interested in seeing whether the companies treated senior people differently from juniors. And we found that there was a substantial difference between their treatment of senior executives than the way they treated more junior people. And then what we were interested in was understanding, why did that take place? Was it that the company worried about bringing more public action against the senior person because it might affect the reputation of the company, or was it something else? And what we discovered was that, if anything, it looked as though some of that was coming from the old boy network, the fact that senior executives are more likely to be connected with the person who's punishing them. And we have this natural tendency as human beings to treat people who are part of our own network or part of our own group more favorably than people who are not.
There's a name for that, isn't there?
We found that senior men, for example, get sort of a lower punishments than senior women, And senior women, of course, tend to be outside that old boy kind of club.
There's a name for that, isn't there? That there's a sort of a formal name for that preference.
Yeah, there is.
It's
a sociology, and it's called homophily.
How much of a difference was there between senior staff and junior staff, and what was the difference?
Well, so the likelihood of getting dismissed or having no action taken against you if you're a senior was about double that of a junior person. And the same was true of the likelihood that you were going to be both dismissed and face legal action. In that case, the likelihood that that was the case would be about half if you're a senior person versus a junior person. So pretty substantial differences in the probabilities that you would face these different types of punishments.
Out of interest, did the crimes involving senior members, senior employees, did it tend to involve more money?
Yes, although we tried to control for that in the study. So we tried to sort of match punishments based on and crimes across different perpetrators. But it's not just the seniority that affects the magnitude of the crime. So I think that oftentimes it's a type of crime that's committed as well.
So one suggestion, it might be because of the relationships between the people who have to decide to prosecute and the potential criminals, but any other ideas of what might be going on?
Well, I think there's sort of three explanations. One is, as I mentioned, it could be that if you're a senior, you worry more about the reputational effects, consequences for the company. So, for example, with ANZ Bank, the fact that this wasn't a crime, but the fact that the CEO faced some questions about possible wrongdoing, you know, that's going to hit the headlines. Whereas if it was a regular, your lower-level person, the chances are that it's not going to have the same effect. So that's one possibility. Mm. The other is that that if you're really very senior, sometimes you may be seen as a rainmaker, and that makes it harder for the company, makes it is more likely to look the other way. And I think that would be true, for example, in the case of Harvey Weinstein, that people look the other way despite the fact that there was evidence pointing to his misbehavior. And the third is this notion of homophily, where you know, we tend to be more lenient toward people who are our friends or who are our members of our own group. It could be our own religion, our own gender, or you know, that's something that goes back actually to the time of the ancient Greeks, that people have recognized this pattern that the way we behave as human beings.
So what questions are raised by your research then?
Well, I think the one question is what are the consequences of kind of minimizing the punishments that you have for people who commit crime? Because you might expect that if senior people get treated more leniently, you know, lower level people in the organization are likely to become more skeptical about whether the company's really serious about these sorts of crimes. And so there's a question of whether companies in this situation changes the culture and whether it might even increase the risk that the companies might face of future such crimes. We don't know the answer to that, but it certainly seems like a plausible possibility.
Other question is whether you need to take the decision-making around prosecution out of the hands of the people who are operating at the same level as the person, right? Do we need to look at board or governance level?
Yes, no, that's true. And I think that, again, question whether the board is likely to sort of go along with the recommendations of the CEO, and should the board be more involved? And they probably are involved, I would suspect, in most cases for senior people. But my guess would be that they might also be more likely to go along with the recommendations of the senior management who would be doing the punishing. And then the question is, should the board be thinking about ensuring that this is reported to the regulator? Because when you look at cases where crimes are reported to regulators, then these sorts of behaviours don't tend to show up in the data. So making sure that all these crimes sort of do get reported, companies are more likely to be more equitable in the way that they treat perpetrators of crimes.
You've done a good job in the research, Paul. You're a Kiwi professor at Harvard University.
I am. Yep, I come from Wellington, and I've been back here for 6 months for sabbatical, and I'm actually just about to head back there now.
Pretty impressive. What's Harvard life like?
Oh, it's I'm spoiled. What can I say? It's wonderful. A wonderful environment. Great students and great campus and faculty, and I get the chance to meet a lot of really interesting executives.
Many other Kiwis over there doing your sort of thing?
There are a couple, sadly more Australians, I think, than New Zealanders, but there are a few.
Is there a Bob Dylan scholar, Kiwi Bob Dylan scholar over there?
I think you're right. I haven't met him, but it's him, right?
Yeah. Richard Thomas, I think. I think he's a Kiwi. Anyway, we're off topic. Well done on this research. Nice to have you back in New Zealand for a bit.
Great. Thank you so much.
Professor Paul Healy, and pretty worrying, some of those findings of his research too.